Very nice diaconate. As you can tell, it's a communion service. So those of you who are seeing this later or who are at home, by all means, when you have a chance during a song or something, please get your stuff together so that you can celebrate communion with us. It's going to be a wonderful time. Announcements. We have a budget meeting coming up in November. I'm assuming all of you who are in charge of committees have your financial requests already in. If not, get them in ASAP. We don't want a cranky moderator or a cranky office assistant. If you haven't noticed, we're getting a new roof through money and grants and insurance. It's not going to fix all of our roof problems, but it's a start, and it's being covered, which is nice because we all know that finances are a wonderful thing. And the young lady halfway back had her hand up for something. Yeah, you. Every woman is a young woman.
Oops. This might be really easy. How many of you read the newsletter article? Ooh, pretty much everyone. Okay. So, as John mentioned, and as I drove up today, I'm going, they did it! All of the shingle roof has been removed and replaced. They started on Tuesday, had a little hiccup, so they couldn't work on Wednesday, and they must have worked all day yesterday, because when I left Friday, they hadn't even started on this. So I haven't walked it yet, but it looks, from the ground, wow. So as I mentioned in the article, and John mentioned that this is, like a pseudo gift. It's an indicator of what's going on in our world with these catastrophic weather occurrences. And in our council meeting, I brought forward from the property committee because we, almost by fluke decided to have our roof inspected because we didn't do it right away when Alana and Becky had their car damage. We, it just didn't dawn on us. So through the correct processes with our insurance adjuster, we are getting two new roofs, the one over this and the flat one of what is the original church building. As John mentioned, the education wing is really the next roof we had scheduled to replace. So we are doing that research. We'll talk about that. But overall, we talked in council and decided at our next council meeting so that we could also have some congregational discussion time that we should think about this gift because it's a pseudo gift. That our climate is changing, that our weather conditions are worse, so what can we do now that we have been given 165, we had to pay the $1,000 deductible, $165,000 gift. So prayerfully consider this and talk to council members, talk to the property committee. I threw one brainstorming idea out there, but Jacob was on board at the council meeting and he goes, yeah, let's do some prayerful book studies, learning subcommittees. Think about what we can do as a congregation now that we are covered.
Deanne, who is the property committee?
Property committee is Dewey Vandazan, Matt Velma, and me. I'm Deanne Goodlex.
Does anybody else have something that we need to hear and learn about? I wasn't going to say that. I'm trying to let things go so that when we have a hymn, we'll have a person. It's going to sound like the Goodlax and O'Donovan, exchange of wonderful things, but didn't she create a nice altarscape too? And as Deanne also was saying, Linda brought up a video of a group that we follow who do cruises, but they also live in North Carolina. Oh, the damage that area has gotten is just appalling. I seriously think that people who have experienced a tornado had it better. I mean, it is just a shame. They're figuring months to maybe years before some people get water again. And no one was expecting it. And as Deanne said, the world is changing. Those ideas of how to build bridges and roads and et cetera were set up with like 10, 15, 20 years ago weather ideas, which aren't there anymore. So keep them in your prayers, people along the East Coast. If you feel a need to contribute, there are many ways that are out there through the Red Cross and the like. Just please hold those people in your arms and hearts. It's now that time to get up and get disorganized. Please feel free to exchange the peace with one another in any way that you are comfortable and that person is comfortable.
Please stand for the call to worship. It's adapted from Psalm 26. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and mind. I have walked faithfully with you. The love you have for me shines in my eyes. We will sing aloud songs. Redeem us, O Lord, and make us stand on level ground. And the opening prayer is said in unison. Let us pray together, Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready than ready to hear us, than we are ready to offer prayers. You give us more than we deserve. Help us to be accepting of your grace and mercy, and open our hearts to all that you offer today and all the days coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
Do I have any children here today? No? Okay. Well, I'll try my best in conveying this message to all of us. And this one includes me. It talks about Jesus blessing the children is the story I had lined up for the kids today. And it reminds us we get really busy with our kids. A lot of parents today are so involved, right, with their kids. They take them to every soccer game. They don't miss a softball or baseball, t-ball game. It's almost the opposite, like they've gone overboard. You don't see adult volleyball leagues, adult bowling leagues like we did 25, 30 years ago. So you think, well, parents are doing more for their kids today than we did 20 or 30 years ago. So you're like, thinking about that, but are they really? And like I said, this is no reflection on anyone, myself included, because I was one of those parents that went to every activity also. But then, I don't know, I was looking at the Cats in the Cradle song by Harry Chapin. And it reminds us, you know, it goes all through that story of dad and son definitely love each other. There's no doubt in your mind as you listen to that song.
No, it's coming up.
But are they ever taking the time to spend it with each other? just really together. You know, and then I look at me as a parent running my kids to soccer and volleyball and football, and is that quality time? Not really. I'm there to cheer them on, but is that quality time? Is that one-on-one time? And I think the Cats in the Cradle song just reminds you to sit down and take quality time. Reading a story with them at bedtime where it's one-on-one, just the two of you, or just the couple of your kids and you, that's quality time. Family game nights, great quality time. So just a reminder to all of us, like Jesus took time for the children, make sure we take quality time. Don't count the running them to soccer as time with your kids, but just to take quality time. So. John, I'll let you follow it up with a prayer that ties it in, please.
And as our tradition, if you would kindly repeat after me. Dear God, give us the courage and sense to know that there are times we need family time. And that we need to carve out this in our hectic life. So that we may honor our children and you. And the great Christian family that we all belong to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture today is Genesis 2, verses 18 through 24, and it's from the Common English Bible. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good that the human is alone. I will make him a helper that is perfect for him." So the Lord God formed from the fertile land all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky and brought them to the human to see what he would name them. The human gave each living being its name. The human named all the livestock, all the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But a helper perfect for him was nowhere to be found. So the Lord God put the human into a deep and heavy sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh over it. With the rib taken from the human, the Lord God fashioned a woman and brought her to the human being. The human said, "This one finally is bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. She will be called a woman, because from a man she was taken. This is the reason that a man leaves his father and mother and embraces his wife, and they become one flesh."
And if you'd all please rise and join in singing hymn 347 by the Lakeshore. Thank you. Thank you, and if you would be seated. And allow me a moment of prayer. Lord, I pray that you would be with me as I speak, and that you have guided my thoughts. You have given me the words to say that will teach our hearts and change our lives. I pray that you would use this message to draw those who hear it closer to you and help us to grow in our faith. Amen. Interesting Bible verse. Bet you're really thinking it's odd that we get a creation story on the first Sunday of October. And what's that got to do with anything? I mean, it is bizarre. But we're only looking at part of the creation story. When the first human was put on earth, the Creator noticed that Adam needed a helpmate, a companion. And God didn't want Adam to be or feel like he was alone. So God decided, you know, I'm going to create animals, birds, insects, and all that, and I'm going to put them on the earth. Maybe they'll work. And I'll even give Adam, the human, a chance to give them all names. But Adam and God looked over all of the critters, and they weren't found as a satisfactory companion for the human, Adam. So God created another human, and they named her Eve. Now we're talking God here, all-important creator and the like. And God could have left the earth with just one person on it. God could have created the animals for this person and just left it at that. Or he, or she, or they, however you feel God, maybe didn't even need animals. But you know something? God had a plan. From the reading that was read today by Ms. Chase and other Bible readings, I find that it's apparently that the Creator had a plan for us. And that belonged and included a community and diversity. So often you're told, you know, to success in this world, you need to do it by yourself. Come on. Or if you get it done by yourself, it's a thing of success. But you know, there are drawbacks of doing everything by yourself. First off, there's no new ideas coming because there's no one else with other ideas. There's nothing for you to really think about because you have no one else to think about. You just got to worry about yourself. And there's no advice or help because it's just you. There's no one to turn to for advice or help. There's no sharing. There's no love. And there's no compassion. Now, in theory, you can function without contact of another individual. It's possible. But think what that would that be like. You by yourself. Basically a hermit. And just to dwell on this idea a second, it's clearly known that some other countries use solitary confinement or solitary existence to punish and torture people. But the idea of being alone doesn't appear to be what God had in mind from the start. In going through the Bible, there are many suggestions that we are to interact with others. Take Jesus himself. He had a group of 12 individuals that he walked around with in his preaching. He didn't do it by himself. There were the tribes of Israel. When Jesus preached, it was to groups and multitudes. And there's more if we wish to look further. And I have to ask, why shouldn't we be part of a community? Is it nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of and get advice? Isn't it comforting to be in a place like here or other individual areas where you go with others that are like you and you have similar ideas and similar beliefs? You can discuss things and you can learn about differences as compared to going into a place where you feel alone and you're the one that's out of line and what you believe and think about is contrary to everyone else and you're truly an outsider. You don't belong. In the book of Corinthians, Jesus compares his followers to parts of the body. If you are a tongue, you can speak, etc., etc., etc. The writer also states in that book that the body is made up of several parts, each one with specific duties and gifts that that part has, and abilities. But each of those parts by themselves are not the body. They come together and become one body. And without those parts, you don't have the body. And a community, a family, is also made up of a variety of people with a variety of gifts. We're all different. We all have different abilities. But yet we can still be one community. The writing shows that diversity can work in a community and should be part of a community. Who wants to be in a group of all yes men and women, of people who always sit there and everything you do is this? It's kind of nice to see things from another side or look at things another way. It's good to have help. I planned this service. I had everything all set. I'm going good. And come to find out, I didn't include a spot for the children's sermon. But luckily, part of the community of the administration of the church, Alana, decided to put one in there so that we would all have one. It's good to have checks and balances. And nothing says that being in the community causes you to stop being who you are. As you become part of the community, you don't have to give up your uniqueness. One body made up of many parts. And isn't there an old saying that there's always strength in numbers? Starting a journey with Christ invites you into a community that you should give your support and comfort to. You become part of a family, a church family. And like any other community, we're not all going to completely agree on everything, but we are still that community. But like a community outside of the church, we need to respect differences. We need to respect each other's opinions. We need to listen to each other's perspectives and avoid personal attacks. We need to take time to find a common ground, and we have to be willing to compromise in ways. I'm not saying you need to give up, but maybe if you shave off a little here and they shave off a little there, we come to an understanding. We come to a uniqueness. We come to a result. And something to add to all of this, which I had no idea about but fits in so perfectly, I completely forgot about it. The first Sunday in October is designated as World Communion Sunday. It's a day where believers all around the world celebrate Holy Communion with a special reminder that we're all part of one big family, one big community, no matter where we live. Believers all over this world are part of that extended community, of our community. Just like the Bible says, Jesus is the light that shines brightly all through the world, bringing love, hope to everyone. As we celebrate communion a little later, we need to remember Jesus' love for us. It's always been one of my pet peeves that you look and everybody kind of looks forlorn and upset at communion. And I realize that we are remembering something that was tragic. But we're also remembering that God created a man, Jesus, to be on this earth, to live and die for our sins. And through that, we have a promise of life eternal. And if that's not something to smile about, I don't know what is. People throughout this town or this country or even this world are part of our community. And we need to remember that Jesus' love knows no bounds. It reaches every person, everywhere, throughout the world. And even if you've got that feeling that you're truly alone, you're not. God's just a prayer away. Our God is a living God, a God that does care, a God that does communicate, if you take the time to listen, and a God that sends people into your life to aid and help you. Being a strong individual is not a bad thing. But I believe it was a Beatles song. Doesn't everyone need a little help now and then? You don't have to travel the spiritual journey alone. In fact, God doesn't want you to. The same God works in all of us and helps us in everything that we do. And as we're fond of saying here, we'll help you no matter who you are or where you are in your journey with Christ or what part of that community you are. Amen. So, we now enter into a time of prayer. So why don't you all take a deep breath, let it out, clear your minds and clear your hearts, and take a moment to communicate with God the thoughts and feelings that you have that are a little too close to you to share in public, but that you need to share with God. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Are there any joys, concerns, worries that anyone in the congregation wishes to share for the rest of us to share with them? Well, yes. Thank you. If I offer something up and ask, hear our prayer, please respond with God in your mercy. For the gift and care of insurance to fix our roof and for the safety that that will provide for us in future years, God in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we also ask that you watch over thousands upon thousands of people along the East Coast whose lives have been completely changed, if not taken from them, due to the crazy weather that has become upon us. Guide them, watch over them, and lend your caring hand to them. God, in your mercy, our prayer. Is there anything else? Anything from people out in the outer world? Okay, let us pray then. God of all creation, we gather together as your people, grateful for the gift of community. We thank you for our diversity and our unique gifts, for the perspectives that we offer and bring to each of us. Help us to embrace and celebrate our differences, recognizing that we are all part of just one body. We lift up those who are struggling, those who are alone, and those who are in need. Surround them with your love and provide for their needs. Particularly, we pray for Roger, Keith B., Teresa, Shanda, Mike H. and Mike V., Paul, Harriet, Wanda and her family, the Reynoldses, Warren, Barbara, and any others who seek your comfort from their pain whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional. We pray for your guidance and strength as we seek to follow your will and live out our lives with you. May we be a beacon of hope and a source of healing in a world that is often broken and hurting. Empower us to share our love with others, both in word and deed. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray, stating, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now comes a time of service where we ask that you share your gifts, whether they be financial, talent, prayer, or even a comforting thought. The ushers will now come around. And if we all share together in the offertory prayer, Creator God, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We ask that you use these gifts to help those on their journey and bless those in need. Amen. You may be seated. And that just goes to show diversity and what kind of church this is. Many churches, there would not be four women going through and doing the collection and taking care of things. Isn't it nice that no matter who you are welcome here and you're allowed to do things? Really kind of shows what we're all about. So let's join the time of communion. Just as God wants humankind not to be alone, we are also being given a way to remember all the Lord has done for us. Through a gathering of community, in communion, in celebrating part of the Passover meal. As you notice, communion comes from the word community. To be gathered together, a wide variety of people, under a similar purpose, to become a community. This is a reminder that God wants humankind to come together and support one another. Just as a community brings people together to remember Christ's sacrifice and to celebrate our shared faith. So let us take time to enter into the sanctity and joy of this service through the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion. Please come to the Lord's table. Please come and be at peace. The only requirement when Jesus gave us this is that he asked that what we do be in remembrance of me. He put no qualifiers. There's nothing about age. There's nothing about race or gender or any other category that the world has put out to separate us. And in that knowledge, let me say that the table here is open to all. We put no restrictions upon it either. All are welcome. All that is asked, as Scripture states, is to remember that Christ lived among us, that Christ died to cleanse us of our sin, and that Christ rose once again to prove and show that there is the promise of eternal life. So at this time, let us take a chance to confess our shortcomings. If we say we are without sin, we are lying, and we are not being true to ourselves. But if we confess our sins to God, God will forgive us and cleanse our record. Continuing, Creator, we admit we are bound by sin and unable to free ourselves. We have sinned in our head, our heart, and our actions, in what we have left undone. We have not loved one another as we should. We have forgotten who our neighbor is, and that all of this existence is a gift from you. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us from darkness into light. Anyone in Christ has become a new person through Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. Everything has become new. The past is done and gone. Through God's grace, we are new people with new lives. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Glory be to the Creator, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord is with you. The Lord is present with all of us. We should give thanks to God. Oh, God, what would our lives be? We thank you, God, for all the gifts of creation, for life itself, for sending Jesus to share in joys, sorrows, life as we know. Let us exclaim in joy, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, your glory fills the heaven and the earth. Blessed are those who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the high. Christ met with his disciples at a Passover meal. No one but he knew the significance of this certain meal. And as he shared with what was to come with them, he also shared a small meal with them. A simple meal. A simple meal with a very complex meaning. And as it was his nature, Christ used this time to teach others. At this meal, he took bread that was at the table. He blessed it. Dear God, take these grains that were on your earth, picked by hand and taken care of, to become a very sacrificial and religious meal. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after the meal, he took a cup. The cup was filled. He gave thanks and blessed it and passed it to his disciples, saying, "This cup poured out for you is my blood in a new covenant with us all. This do in remembrance of me." Creator, pour out your spirit upon these gifts of bread and drink. Help us to be worthy of what you are offering us and to be thankful of this wonderful gift. Come now, community of Christ. Receive the gifts that have been prepared for you in the presence of our Creator, for all is now ready. For those of you that have certain tendencies, we have some gluten-free bread in the middle. We ask that you come up the middle and go along the sides. And we also, as has become one of our new traditions, have a hymn to sing as we're waiting. So please come. All is ready now.
bread together on our knees, Let us break bread together on our knees. In the grace to the rising sun, oh, have mercy on me. Let us
Yes, you are. Lord, now let your servants go in peace. Your words have been fulfilled. We have seen the salvation which you have prepared for us and realize that you are the light to all nations of this world. Continue to bless this holy community forever and ever. Amen. And if you'd please rise and join in singing of hymn 716, God be with you. I kind of did that deliberately to take the lift off of me. You guys just did the benediction. I mean, what better way than God be with you till we meet again? So, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look down upon us and smile and keep us safe. May the Lord grant us peace, grace, and understanding. throughout our entire lives, and help us to realize that we are a community, a group of people with a purpose. And as you leave, let the world know what that purpose is. In Jesus' name, amen.